Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Leaders that work with clients like Audi, Reebok, Chipotle, REI, and 3M. I love Chipotle. I love Audi. I'm a pretty big fan of Reebok. 3M, come on. If you want to be a leader, you really need to know what the essentials of leadership are. Normally, you learn those when you're my age. I'm 60 now. And you're a little bit bitter and you're a little bit twisted like I am. A little bit bitter. I'm not bitter. But you know what? This is such an important thing. What are the values and what is your vision? Well, my guest right now is a very strange man named Paul Venables. He's the founder and chairman of Venables Bell and Partners. And he says some strange things like this. Are you ready for this? The importance of core values over vision. Values over vision? Wait a minute. How about the values of independence? Okay. How to build a world-class company with a heart. You can't have a heart if you're going to lead with an iron fist. Here he is, Paul Venables. Paul, can we start with, because I mean, I really do. Some of these things go, they're diametrically opposed to what some people were taught in school. Am I right? Let's start with values over vision, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. First of all, thank you so much for being on the show, having me. It's like, you know, being on this EW so much better than being on the other EW. You remember that one? Entertainment Weekly, probably not even in business. This is the EW to be on. So thank you for having me.
No, this is Entrepreneur Weekly. Yeah, that one's entertainment.
Leaders always talk about vision. Follow me, boys. Go into the breach. Right. You know, let's attack. And those things are, first of all, they're extrinsic. They tend to be extrinsic. And I'm a big believer in intrinsic motivation and extrinsic things. And then they change. Circumstances come in and new data, new information. And guess what? The leaders already proclaimed they're going over here, and now they're hesitant to change direction because, well, it looks like they're waffling on their leadership. They're waffling on their vision. When in fact, the vision can be a little bit more fluid, but the thing that will always guide you, especially now, we're talking about difficult times. We're talking about pandemics, and I'm in California where the skies are blood red, and we are talking about values. They should not change. They are your rock. You can tether yourself to your values, you know, solid, honest, real values. I'm not talking about, you know, we've all seen the poster in the break room with the executives all rowing in unison and it says teamwork. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real values. I'm talking about leading with your heart. I'm talking about leaving people better than you found them. I'm talking about understanding gratitude and how it powers the world. It makes the world go round. Those kinds of things, human-centric stuff, and that will lead to people galvanized, working in unison, and fighting and pulling in the same direction and doing great things together. So that gives you a little sense of the kinds of stuff that we're about.
You know what? I love that. I want to tell you a little quick story before we take a break. Day before yesterday, I was, you know, having to deal with a problem in business, which they come up. There's a new boss with this company we're working with. And there were some problems with the fact that my values and the old boss's values weren't lining up just right. The reason is I live by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so I was asked a question and there was only one possible answer to me, which was, we must do what is right. I live by the golden rule, period. And then I just signed it, Alan. You know what? I want to tell you, the new boss is a man of virtues and values, and it resonated with him so much so that it was like a ripple effect through the company because I didn't give him some excuse. I didn't give him seven reasons why we did what we did. I just said, we need to do what's right. And the right thing to do is that we need to admit we made a mistake, in essence. And you know what? That's what's going on, right?
There's a phrase I learned along the way that I love, and I completely pilfer this from somewhere else, and I have no idea where. But the thought is, integrity is not some fluffy, nice-to-have luxury. Integrity can actually be a competitive business advantage. Think about that. Integrity, a competitive business advantage, because when you and your employees know that you're doing things with a sense of justice and with right reason and with good intention, and your clients do and your customers do, they are more prone to what? Give you a break when things go badly, to work with you through difficult times, to reward you with more business when things are going well, to cheer on your prosperity and not work against you, and to be in it with you. Yeah. And so integrity, your example to me it brings that to life in a very real concrete way.
Well, you know what they used to say all the time, you know, you got to think outside the box. You know what? What is outside the box that should be inside the box is integrity, is values, is living this way, right? Yeah. People are like, I'm willing to die for what I believe. How about be willing to live for what you believe? And you said it before, your values should be your rock, something you can tether yourself to. Your values, people. We'll take a break. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I got an interesting man on the phone here. We'll take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
This song is the All-American Rejects, Dirty Little Secrets. My Dirty Little Secrets, it's pretty simple. I live what I believe every day of my life. Call it my spiritual nature. Call it my commitment to my creator. I'm done with all of this garbage out there. And my guest right now, Paul Venables, founder and chairman of Venables Bell and Partners. And it's VenablesBell.com, VenablesBell.com. I think you're this kind of a guy, too. I love this next one is the value of independence. I was willing, Paul, to I threw it all out there. I thought if they don't want to work with me because I'm going to tell them what they need to hear, then I don't want to work with them either. So it would be a great time to split up. But I found that, guess what? These people I'm working with are people of virtues and values. And that's what, there's our common thread. That's a common rope, believe it or not.
Yeah. And that's, in my business, you can imagine advertising, where a lot of people spend an awful lot of time pandering to their clients and flattering and being sycophants in one way, shape, or form. And when you're part of a big, giant conglomerate holding company, you know, you got the bean counters in New York or Paris telling you what to do, and you fall in line because, you know, you're owned. But we're independent. So, you know, if you're, again, if you're a holding company, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholder. That makes sense. But that doesn't put the client first, and that certainly doesn't put your employees first. But as an independent, we get to do that. We choose to do right by our people, by our clients, and by our employees. And I can't tell you how many clients, you know, we're the kind of people that will sit in the room and point and say, the emperor's naked. You know, or even worse, you know, the emperor's naked and you probably should get that mole looked at, because we are going to tell the truth. We're going to live by a certain level of integrity, of honesty, and then we can be fearless in expressing that. Obviously, we're polite and we're professional, but we tend to express these things. And clients, guess what? They want to hear it. They want to know what's not right. They want to know what's smoke and mirrors so they can fix things, they can adjust, they can improve, they can grow their businesses. And if everybody's just nodding and yesing them to death, that's not going to happen. So independence in my world becomes a really sharp, powerful tool in our tool belt.
You used the word sycophant. It's not a word that's ever been said on my radio show. It's a big word. And I'm like, did he just say that? Do you want to go ahead and expand on that word? Because that's a big one.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've all worked with them or seen them. They're the, in my dad's day, would have called them the brown nosers.
Right.
You know, the butt kissers, the lackeys, you got your yes men, you got your, you know, there's a range of just those types who are trying to avoid conflict, put their head down, not get fired, and tell their boss what they want to hear.
Well,
we know this is how the world works now.
Here's what it is. It says, describing someone who uses flattery to get what they want. I love that word, by the way. I use it every so often. It's like one of those words you drop it on somebody and they go, what did he just say? When you call, you know, you got to call a spade sometime. I don't want yes men. I prefer a sloppy, rude, honest person than a person that is all bolted together that is a sycophant. You know what I'm saying? I want the truth.
Absolutely.
And so I guess, you know, I value my independence, and I've lost many opportunity only to be very happy I did, to move on to a better opportunity with people of integrity that value my integrity. These are, you know, that's why I played this song, All American Rejects. Am I a reject of that? Most people don't want the truth. You know that, don't you?
No, it sets you apart. It sets you apart as a leader. Let's think about leadership, right? What does it really amount to? Trust. When you see a leader and you go, I understand their values, I understand what they're trying to do, I understand what's important to them, I've seen them make decisions that have hurt, but they were the right things to do, they have integrity, then I can follow that person, right? That builds trust. That opens that door to trust. And when it's the opposite, when it's somebody who says one thing and does another, or surrounds themselves with the sycophants of the world, then that's shattered. And so then how do I follow this person when they're rudderless, even if they say with their mouth all these things and
rudderless.
Have all these visions?
All right, hold on, hold tight, hold tight, because I got to get run over by a commercial. You guys, when we come back, another thing that Paul says, values are useless unless they manifest. Oh, this is a good one. Are you an entrepreneur? Do you like what you're hearing? Maybe Paul Venables can give some more advice on the other side. Stay with us.
Hey, brother. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, in our next half hour, after we're done with Paul, we're going to talk about a nonprofit organization that can help you get into business. They can, you know, tutor you. They can help you even if you're already in business. They're a nonprofit. We'll be up with them just in a minute here. Paul Venables is joining us. He's the founder and chairman of Venables Bell and Partners. And they are in the Bay Area of California, VenablesBell.com on the web. Values are useless unless they manifest. I just got to hear what you have to say on that.
Well, this is, again, like if you're a leader in business and you project certain values and a certain level of integrity, what's your life like? Let's look at your life integration. Do you live by these things? Are they incorporated in your daily decisions and in your daily life? And is there evidence? Is there physical evidence? And so I think that's really important. The point is to be a leader and have people follow you and respect and listen and want to work with you. Not necessarily for you, but with you. And if they find out you're a sham, you know, then where's that going to go? So my wife and I have always been people of faith, and we have certain values, but as it relates to love your neighbor and to reach out to the marginalized. And a good example is we went, we did a service project and it extended and it grew. All of a sudden we found ourselves in outside of Calcutta in India, and in this little tiny town I grew up in, this school that the Jesuits are running out there, and these kids are living in dirt. They have nothing. I'm telling you, it's just dirt and them and a dirty pond where they get their food and wash their clothes and everything. And they're full of joy. They're full of joy, and we're like, there's something here. There's a magic here. There's a humility of spirit, and yet there's a solidarity of the community, and there's a joy. Mm. And so we came home, and you can't not do what we did, which was start up a 501c3 and start a nonprofit called Tribe Rising India. And we're building a school for them, and if they can get education through high school, then they have all kinds of opportunities. They can't really go to the public schools. They're the tribal Santal or a tribal tribe, and they're lower than the caste system even allows, and so they need all the help they can get, and they're ostracized and prejudiced against in their own communities and stuff. It's amazing, and it's just an example, I think, of like when people see a leader, what are they really about? You know, what do they bring, and how do they affect other people's lives for the positive, and how do they share and extend? And listen, we're not perfect. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of things that are issues, I'm sure, but we try. And I think that's, people see that.
All right. I have a question. And before I ask it, I just want to let people know that Paul and his company, Venables Bell and Partners, through their, basically, their commitment to what we've been talking about, won the world's most prestigious and important advertising award, the Titanium Lion, at the Cannes Film Festival last year. Congratulations on that. And then I'm not going to read all the other awards that you guys have won, which is awesome. But what I want to know, and this may seem silly to you, but what the hell happened to you? What trauma do you have in business that led you to go, to hell with it? To hell with all the stuff that I've been taught in school and all these things. I'm going to do what I know is right in my gut and in my heart. Because this is not normal stuff that you're talking about here. I mean, yes, people. I mean, listen, the people do. We talk about these things. But you have built your company on all these principles that are things that, you know, men keep and women keep in their hearts and in their minds and have to continue to kind of beat the drum for those companies that they work for. But you struck out on your own and you have struck gold, brother. I applaud you for that. I love it. But what did you do?
I think I owe it to my mama taught me well.
Yeah. But well, okay, then what was
my dad, an incredible work ethic, a factory guy, worked in factories his whole life.
I know, but those are all the good things.
Put your nose to it and you get it done.
Those are all the good things. But what was the bad thing? What was the tipping point where you just said to hell with it?
Well, you know, when we opened our office, was a little bit of a to hell with it. So I'm talking about 2001. In March, the dot-com bubble burst in San Francisco. In June, we opened. And then September 9/11 hits and the world goes into a global tailspin. And we hung on. We hung tough. I like to say that we were like those Depression-era grandmothers that knew the value of a dollar and a hard day's work.
Right.
Like, that's where we came from. And we knew, believe in yourself. Bet on yourself. That's Entrepreneur Weekly. That's entrepreneurs. And they may never express this, but that's what it is. You bet on yourself. If I work hard enough, I'm not the smartest one in the room, I'm not the best one in the room, but if I work hard enough, if I work collaboratively enough and bring in the right people to help me where I'm not the smartest or the best, great things will happen. A little bit of faith, a lot of blind luck, and blessings, grace of God. And that's the formula.
That's great. And you're right. That is absolutely the formula, because those are things that typically you don't get taught in school. Now, I think that the schools of today are looking at entrepreneurs as some sort of a, you know, space creature that somehow they've survived through all the nuclear holocaust. You know, it's like, how does this, that's really what it boils down to. How does an entrepreneur survive like a cockroach? You know, they go there, Chernobyl,
yeah,
and the cockroaches are just having a party. Well, we're like human cockroaches. Entrepreneurs are. It's hilarious. There's a special something, you know? All right, I'm playing this for you. It's Fleetwood Mac, by the way.
Yeah,
go your own
tracks,
way. Yes.
Those business tracks that they learn in school, they're tracks. And I'm sure they learn a lot of skills along the way, but here's the truth. You can't teach what's in somebody's heart. You can't teach that intrinsic motivation that I'm going to do this for me and for what I believe is right and screw everybody else on what they think.
That's right.
You can't teach that.
You can't.
I think, the grace of God.
You've done a pretty good job of it here today, because with all these awards and your companies that you work with, your clients, Audi, Reebok, Chipotle, REI, 3M, and others, you, my friend, are the good teacher. Thank you, Paul. VenableBell.com. Thank you. We'll be right back with more.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Being an entrepreneur is not for the weak-minded or the weak of body. It takes a lot of strength, intestinal fortitude. It takes drive. It takes passion. So if you're thinking, because we're in a pandemic world and your job may have dissolved and you're thinking, I got to work. I cannot sit here. I got to work. And you're just willing to go out into the world and give it the old, you know, whatever it is, the old college try, as my dad would say. Did not go to college, but that's what he would say. There's a company out there. It's a nonprofit. It is called Innovation Studio. It's in Boston. And the president is Daniel Vidania. He's here right now to talk about whether or not during a pandemic world, is it the right time to start a business? But because he's a nonprofit, they have a team of experts that can actually help you. That's what they do. So joining us right now is Daniel. Daniel, so let's talk about this. As I was saying, it's not easy. It's going to be a long road. It's going to be hard work. But as an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, I'll tell you, it's worth it. But I struggle every day. Life is a struggle. I've said it before. If a chicken didn't struggle to get out of the egg, it would die inside. So the struggle is worth it. But let's talk about this. We got a pandemic going on. The whole kind of world is kind of on its head right now. It doesn't know what to do. A lot of people's jobs have dissolved, and they're willing to go out there and give it the old 1-2, right? So is it a good time to start a business? What's your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt, it is a great time and the right time to start a business, and I'll tell you why. First of all, at Innovation Studio, we believe that innovation is for everyone. That is our firm belief from the day we get up in the morning to the time our heads hit the pillow. This coronavirus has shone a spotlight on American society, and our cracks are showing through, right, as you can imagine. And there are deep racial, gender, economic, and other inequities that still remain exposed. And this is where we believe we offer the opportunities, the accessibility. And this pandemic has affected people from all walks of life. But there are people here today that I think we believe are out in the community who do not have jobs, that are not able to work from home like yourself or me. And they are sitting there thinking about what their life, what their careers, what their livelihoods look like once this is in a different state of mind, whether it's the virus is defeated and there's a vaccine. But as you know, everything's been turned on its head. And we believe that we have a solution to help entrepreneurs and meet them where they're at. You know, it doesn't matter whether they thought of the idea yesterday or they've been thinking about it and trying it for a year at this point in time.
So explain what you guys do. In essence, you work with all kinds of entrepreneurs from every walk of life. Is that correct? But this is this right now, this conversation we're having, because you guys reached out to us and I said, yeah, this is interesting. Is this about for minorities, people of color? What is the thrust of this right now?
We do work from entrepreneurs from all walks of life, both, you know, those that are, you know, starting high tech organizations, et cetera. But more importantly, this conversation is really more about the ones that are people of color. There's a lot of females that are starting businesses left and right, but right. They're also the ones that are probably the most affected by this pandemic in terms of being able to successfully either launch or grow them from what we see. And, you know, what we do is we do this by first meeting the entrepreneur or small business wherever they're at in terms of, again, whether they started yesterday or whether they've been in business for a year and now they're stuck. We work with them, you know, to provide a pathway, an ongoing engagement points, and community activated spaces for innovators and small businesses. And we do this in collaboration with various innovation ecosystem partners in the communities we serve today, right? And so we see an opportunity to really encourage others and ourselves to reach a much broader community, especially those affected by the pandemic. And we believe that the people of color and women primarily have been the most affected. And we have a commitment to building what I would call inclusive, accessible, and innovative communities in order to really restart and rebuild the economy that we're heading into and hopefully thrive and allow these people to maximize their lives.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's do this. Let me take a little break here. This is an important thing that we're talking about. First of all, the company, if you want to look it up on the web, is innovationstudio.org. It's a nonprofit, and they want to help you get into business. Or if you're already in business and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I just got going here and the pandemic hit and the lockdowns and what am I going to do? They work with all types of entrepreneurs for all types of lifestyles and lives. And, you know, I think this is such a needed thing right now. I'm very happy to hear about this. So we want to hear now on the other side of the break, you know, what are the processes so people can get started on you guys helping them and how you're expanding? This is all good stuff. Daniel Vidania joining us. We'll be right back. We'll learn some more. Stay with us.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And my guest today is Daniel Vidania. He's the president of Innovation Studio. If you add the .org, not .com, .org, because it's a nonprofit, you can find out how they can help you if you may be starting a business or if you're in business. He says that they help you where you're at. So if you're 6 months or a year in business and you're starting to freak out a little bit and you need to talk to somebody, here we have a nonprofit today to help you. And hopefully right now, Daniel, you'd be willing to explain to us the process that you guys use for helping people in business and starting a business. What do you guys do?
Basically, as I said before, we tend to meet the entrepreneur where they're at, right? Or small business. So we don't have a threshold. We don't say you have to be in business for X or you have to be making X amount of revenue to have a conversation. We really talk to people as our first point of entry is really inviting them to have a one-on-one with us. It's usually a 30 to 45 minute conversation. And really for them to talk to us about their business or their idea and where they're at today and what have they done to try and get it going. And from there, what we do is really listen, and then we then have a conversation with them about what are the action items they need to take, right? And so we'll say, okay, have you figured out who your competition is if you're doing this type of business? And, you know, sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is, yeah, I don't really know. So we will basically say, okay, why don't you go take a step, figure out this competitive matrix, and really understand the competition, because it's very important for you to know who's in your space and if you have a different value point than others. And really, it's about assigning those action items. And that is the first point. And then what we do is we let them go. It usually is a 2 to 3 week process for them to, you know, come back. And if they come back and say, hey, I want to have a conversation, I want to set up another one-on-one, I've already completed these action items, then we're now, I would say, we're in business, because now that entrepreneur 2 weeks later says, I've done this work. I'm ready to take the next step. I need to learn more. I need to understand what is my next part of the process.
Yeah.
So what we do is we get them going in what we call an entrepreneur pathway program, which is a checklist of 7 things that they need to go through in order to essentially get the traction they need to really make this into a real business, or define whether it's a real business at that point.
So you have a team of experts, expert entrepreneurs or experts in their field in any way, that can assist virtually as well, right? So in other words, you can do some of this right over the phone.
Yeah. And in fact, with the pandemic, I mean, we used to do a lot of these in our spaces that we have in Boston and New England. And because of the pandemic, we switched everything to virtual. But in reality, it's actually been a great thing, because what it does is it allows us to serve more people. Whereas before we had this physical constraint, now we set up times that work for people, and it's a lot easier for them not to have to drive and transit, et cetera, to get to our places. And sometimes it would be late, and before you know it, they only had 15 minutes to talk to us. And really this maximizes the time with them so we can really help them.
All right. Let's talk about a success story. Give us an example of somebody that you've worked with and helped. Just curious.
There's a few of them, but there's one in particular that really strikes for me, that, you know, strikes a chord. This person, she's a Black American woman over the age of 50. She came to us, and we run these pitch competitions 4 times a year, right? And we do them physically primarily, but we've done our last one in June. We did that virtually and was a success, even though, you know, we couldn't see everybody in person. She came to us back in October, applied for our pitch competition, had a great application, took part in some of our, you know, programs leading up to it to figure out how to build a great pitch deck. And when she came to practice with us, because we help them practice their pitches. So it's not just you get accepted and all of a sudden you get thrown up in front of, you know, 200 people to pitch your business in front of judges for prize.
That would be like setting them up to fail at that point.
Correct. Because when you think about it, most of these entrepreneurs have never even tried to start a business, have never been in front of investors or people or large crowds. And they do a 3-minute pitch. So it's not a 20-minute, not a 5 or a 10. It's a 3-minute, which I'll tell you, 3 minutes is a lot harder than 5, 10, or 20, right? Because while the other ones are more involved, to pitch your business in 3 minutes and hit all the correct points it takes skill and it's an art, right? And so we have a team of experts that help them with that preparation process.
Let me jump in here and say this. If anybody's ever watched Shark Tank or even The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis, you see people trying to describe their business or describe their product that they want to get, you know, some funding for, or a partner, or whatever they're looking for. And some of them are just terrible, even though they've watched the show. They know they have to be on their game, have their numbers. Because remember, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And they just go in there thinking that they know everything right off the tip of their tongue. And they don't. It is really something you have to be prepared for. And so I think this is a very, very important process that you guys are putting these people through. And the elevator pitch, what is the old saying? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. So if you can do it while you're on an elevator or in a short time, you have a much better chance of making something happen. I went to a major retailer one time. And the person saw me doing some radio, and they were interested in doing something together with me. And they said, you know, what can we do with you for $1 million? And I kind of laughed. I went, yeah, right. They go, no, tell us what we could do with you if we spent $1 million with you. And I was like, wow. Now, that at the time was going to be the biggest deal I ever made. And the woman said to me, she says, but here's the deal. I want everything you're going to tell me on one piece of paper. She says, I hate long pitches. And I went, on one piece of paper, I go, $1 million, you can own the world. And I'm like, because, you know, that's how entrepreneurs think, is we've got to just have these gigantic, huge pitches and all this information. And, you know, the people that are making the decisions, half of the decision has been made by whatever they see, the twinkle in your eye or the energy that you put off. The other half is the information you're going to deliver and how you deliver it. So having a really well put together pitch is really important. Now I'll take another break. We're going to come back on the other side, try and get some information from you on, you know, advice on what people can do, because I know you're expanding Innovation Studio. InnovationStudio.org. We're talking to the president, Daniel Vedanya. Dan, hang on a sec. You guys, seriously, if you want to get into business, you got to be ready. We'll be right back. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors. Is a pandemic a great time to start a business? Well, Daniel Vedanya says so. He says yes. He is the president of Innovation Studio. This is a company, a nonprofit, with a team of experts that can assist you virtually to start your business. Or if you're in business right now, they can help you. They have these experts. They will walk you through some of the hardest times of your life, because that is what being an entrepreneur is actually, you know what they say, when you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. But find a good mentor or somebody that is an expert in their field. Now, Innovation Studio, from what I understand, they have experts, a team of them that are ready, willing, and able. I think I asked you, you know, I was talking about the pitch, and every pitch is different. So I'm going to pivot, Daniel, if it's okay with you. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys are expanding and you have different program offerings now. And you guys are looking for maybe some partners to align with, because this is a big deal. The backbone of America is built on entrepreneurs, people that just get out and make things happen, solve problems. So maybe we could just start there. Let's talk about the offerings that you guys have. Maybe you can list out a few of them.
Yeah, basically, one of the very first ones that we believe will help an entrepreneur start or grow is a program called Launch. It's basically a deconstructed pre-accelerator. It's not your full-blown 12-week accelerator. It's about 8 weeks, and it really goes through some really key steps from like ideation, your target market, your customer development aspects, how to kind of set up your marketing and branding and go-to-market strategies. It also talks about financial planning and all those basics. And then it also ends with basically how to pitch and storytell your business. So it really runs you through that process. We have a team of instructors that essentially lend their time to the community that basically help them put that together. So Launch is a very big program. We do that twice a year in Boston, and we're expanding that. And we hope to expand that in other parts of New England, in towns just like the ones that have been hit the hardest because of the pandemic and because of the racial justice issues that are occurring in America. So that's just one of them. The other one is, if you're a business that, let's say you've been in business for 2 years and you got shut down and you're a micro business, you know, 10, 5 people or so in your business, and you can't open your doors, you know, you were used to essentially having people come in and you can't do that. Well, we've created a what we call a small business tech support program, where we've recently helped over 300 businesses. We put over 1,000 hours of people's expert time to basically help them relaunch their business. So you can do a launch or you can do a relaunch depending on where you're at. So essentially, we can help anyone in that situation, whichever one they fit in at this point in time.
Well, and I love that you're in Boston, and because of the pandemic and all of the success of your business model, I know you're a nonprofit, but people are coming to you, and now you have these virtual offerings, which, you know, that with the team of experts. So all of a sudden, it isn't just about Boston and the Boston area. It's really a national opportunity. And so you're looking for partners to align with to help handle and support some of this demand. Give me a minute on that.
That's correct. Yes. And exactly. I mean, we are seeing demand beyond what we can handle. And exactly that. We think that we can help communities all over. But in order for us to do that, in order to handle the demand, we need partners, whether it's funding or other partners that are already in those communities doing some work. And we can come in and fill the gap and make sure that that community is getting everything it deserves from an entrepreneurial innovation ecosystem perspective.
Yeah. It's all good, brother. I absolutely applaud what you guys are doing, and especially a nonprofit. That makes it a little more difficult just because you have, you know, this nonprofit world to deal with, which I'm involved with one, so I get it. It ain't easy. All right. Once again, innovationstudio.org. If any of this information is interesting to you and you want to reach out, innovationstudio.org. Daniel Vidania, thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
You guys, when I say to you, getting your pitch down and getting your storytelling about your business down, it is a key factor to being able to do business with a person that you're putting your hand out saying, I need help. I need money. I want an investment, or I want to be a partner of yours. If you can't tell your story, you're going to lose that opportunity. You never get a second chance to make a first impression on that person. That's about it for me this week. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for listening. Check out our website, entrepreneur.com. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.